go ahead and get started. Welcome, my name is Jeff Cologne, my wife Rose and I will be sharing with you today. So I'm going to go ahead and pray and then we'll get started. Lord, we thank you for this time together. We thank you, Lord, that we can look to you, we can look to your word, and you do have real answers for life's problems. And as we look at the topic of marriage today and all the difficulties, all the trials, different things that come with that, we thank you, Lord, that you, again, have the answers, and the ultimate goal really is found in you for marriage. So I just pray you'll speak to us today, Lord, as we share from our own personal testimony, Lord, but mostly from your word and from your insights, Lord, into marriage and your ultimate purpose and goal of it, Lord. So bless our time together, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. My wife Rose and I had a pretty tumultuous beginning in our marriage, our first 2 years of marriage. But God has been very merciful to us, and he really did surround us with people that pointed us in the right direction. I'm very thankful for that today. And it's been our privilege for 24 years now to help others and really just point them the same place we were pointed when we were going through our difficulties. And since starting our own counseling center last year, we were at Pure Life Ministries for 23 years. We started Lighthouse Biblical Counseling Center about a year ago. And it's really been amazing to us how many couples have come through our doors that are just having all kinds of marital issues. Actually, some came divorced looking for counseling. We had the privilege of remarrying and redoing vows of one couple. So it's been a blessing, but we've seen a lot of issues in Christian marriages. These are people that were going to church. We've seen financial issues. We've seen absolutely no communication going on in marriages. We've seen abuse, verbal. We've seen parenting issues, anger, selfishness, extramarital affairs, all kinds of stuff, addictions, loss, sickness, just trials in general, and them just not knowing how to make sense of it all. And how's God going to use this? Is there any hope for our marriage? And it's just, again, been a blessing for us to say, well, there's hope, but we got to get the right perspective on your problems. That's really what we want to talk about today. As we all know, relationships, especially marriage, can be hard and difficult at times, especially when there's trials going on in that relationship. And most times, marriages fail because of sin, and usually because people are unwilling to conform their hearts and their lives to the Word of God. That really is, when we see a marriage fail, we understand it's usually one or the other or both that are unwilling to conform their lives to the Word of God. Because if they were, we know. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what kind of situation. There's hope for that marriage. So we face all kinds of trials, and what we try to help couples with is to see that God is in the trial. That's not always hard, because a lot of times their perspective is wrong. So Psalm 66, verse 10 through 12 says, "You, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire, we went through water, but you brought us out into rich fulfillment." So they have to understand that it's coming through his hand, whether or not they understand it or not. And they have to learn to love the hand that is trying to deal with them and help them. In Job chapter 2, verse 10, when Job is just going through horrendous trials, and his wife is telling him, "Look, you should just curse God and die." He says, "You speak as one of those foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. This is important because if we're not careful, Hebrews 12:15 talks about being careful that a root of bitterness doesn't form in our hearts. And that's what happens when we don't see God right. We don't understand that even in the midst of what we might be going through, He is over it, He's sovereign, and He wants to use it in our lives. That's very, very important. But my wife and I have come to realize after 26 years now, yesterday was our anniversary, that God has used every trial we have faced in our lives and marriage to work a deeper sanctification in our lives. That was His goal through it all. James 1, verses 2 through 4 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." So everything we face in life is designed to accomplish God's purpose in us personally, but also in our marriages. And couples need to lay hold of that truth. Romans 8, verse 28 through 29 says, "We know that all things," that means the good, the bad, and the ugly. I'm not talking about the Clint Eastwood movie. "The good, the bad, and the ugly to work together for good to those who love God." There's a condition tied with that. It's not going to work together for good if you don't love God or trust Him. Obey Him. Conform your life to His word. If you will, it will work together for good to those who are called according to His purpose. "For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." So His desire is to produce something in us. He uses our relationships as a means to refine and mold us into His image. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 10 says this, if I can get my little sticky note to open. "Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, I will do it. For how should my name be profaned? And I will not give my glory to another." Hebrews 12:6 says, "For whom the Lord loves, He chastens, and He scourges every son whom He receives." And His desire in the lives of each partner is to have a deep abiding relationship with each person that's involved in that relationship first, which will then work itself out in the relationship together. That is God's goal. He wants a relationship with us first and foremost. Jesus prayed in John 17, verse 19, "For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth, set apart, made holy. I don't pray for these alone, but also those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me." That's God's heart. That's what He wants. Fellowship. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to be one with Him. And when you think about marriage, really is just a representation of a greater relationship that God desires with us. How does He do that? Through our death. The death of our will. And some of us here that may be married understand that marriage is a great opportunity to die to self. Isn't it? Romans 6, verse 3 says this, "Do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through the baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin." And that's really a mindset we need to have in marriage, that marriage is not about me. It's actually an opportunity to embrace my death so that Christ's life can be exhibited through me to my spouse, especially husbands. We're to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 encourages us, shows us a goal, again, in the trials we face. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That word trial means to put to proof, whether by experiment, whether by discipline, implication, adversity. And that's what happens a lot of times in marriage and relationships. So how do we find God's purpose? God, what are you trying to do? God, why am I going through this? God, it wasn't supposed to be this way. When I got married, this is what wasn't what I signed up for. We need to see things from God's perspective. Why is this so important? Because we just naturally gravitate towards seeing things through an earthly perspective, right? Why? What are some of the things we think about when we think of marriage? Well, I just want to be happy. I want to start a family. You know, I want to have companionship, friendship, financial security sometimes. Is there anything wrong with that? No. But if that's your goal, if that's what you're hoping in, you're going to be let down, because that's not always promised. And that's really not God's perspective. That's not his goal for us in marriage. God has an eternal perspective. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17 and 18 says, our light affliction is but for a moment, and it works for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. So we don't look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. That's something we gotta help couples understand. Their relationship really is temporary. You understand what I'm saying? That's God's perspective. And while we're here, really, it's just showing the world something about God. Our marriage is supposed to glorify God. That's God's purpose. And he's always thinking in eternal themes and ways and purposes. And we have to learn to see how he sees. We've heard a lot of things throughout the years. You know, like, oh, I've been so focused on my husband and our marriage lately more than God. I've always dreamed I'd have a marriage where I would just live happily ever after. I've been consumed with maintaining a perfect picture marriage. I just wanted everything to be wonderful. I just wanted to feel like I was loved. There's a much bigger picture. Gary Thomas said this in his book, The Sacred Marriage. What if God designed marriage, relationships, to make us more holy rather than more happy? What if we have to accept the bitter juice because out of it we learn to draw the resources we need to make the honey of a holy life? Again, God's goal, we saw that in Psalm 66, to bring us out to rich fulfillment. So I'm going to have my wife Rose come now and share from a wife's perspective.
Let me just make sure my tablet doesn't switch around. Okay. Psalm 50, verse 15 says, to call upon the name of the Lord in the day of trouble, I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. And it's amazing how the Lord uses trials in our lives to really get our attention. Because it seems like when a trial comes, especially in a marriage, that's when we're really crying out to God from the depths of our being. I mean, really. And for trials, they look different for different ones. Day of trouble can be a financial setback, or maybe a health issue, or maybe a sudden death or illness of a loved one, mental anguish or even torment that one of the spouses is going through, struggling with, or maybe some bondage due to some besetting sin that has enslaved us, or maybe an enemy or a loved one that's turned against us or falsely accused us, or maybe disaster that just strikes unexpectedly. Trials come in many ways in our marriages, and what we have to realize personally, but also couples that come to us for help and they're facing a great trial, is that God wants to use that trial to get us to turn to Him, to realize, I cannot do this. We cannot do this in our own strength. We need You, and it's desperate how much we need You at the center of our marriage, at the center of everything that we're going through. That was so real to me in the first 3 years of our marriage. I knew there's no way this marriage is going to survive with the things that were going on unless God intervened. He was the only one that could bring anything good out of what we were going through. So what we see really is when we're going through a trial, whether as a couple or someone we're counseling, this statement is really true. It says the true test of a person's Christianity is what happens in the storm when the house is battered in the winds of affliction. And that is so true. Because when a storm comes to our home and rocks us off our feet as a couple, we really see what we believe about God. You know, and many times we realize this, wow, I profess that I trust Him. I profess that, yeah, I even know Him as Abba Father. But if I'm really in the reality of that relationship with Him and that knowledge of who He is, then why am I being tossed to and fro with the storm and having anxiety or worry or losing sleep overnight? I just want to read some scripture verses from the book of Exodus, because it really just shows us when we go through trials how God uses it for us. And in Exodus chapter 1, verse 11 through 14, and then I'm going to jump to chapter 2, verse 23 and 24. Joseph died, and a new king arose to power who was making their lives miserable. I mean, just miserable. Most of you know this story here. In verse 11, chapter 1, it says, therefore, they set, regarding to the Egyptians, taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens. Just think about some of the terms that are being used here. And sometimes when we go through a trial in our marriage, we can feel this way. We feel like we're being afflicted. We feel this heavy burden that's upon us. And they were building cities for Pharaoh and supply cities for Python and Ramesses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they grew and multiplied. And they were in dread of the children of Israel. So the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar, in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. And all their service in which they made them serve was with rigor. And then when you go to chapter 2, verse 23 and 24, it says, Now it had happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of their bondage, and they cried out to God, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage. So He heard their groaning, and God remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. And when we read the scriptures, it gives us so much hope, because you realize sometimes it seems like this in the marriage when trials come. But what we see is God heard the groaning. God knew everything they were going through. And I don't know if you caught in verse 12 in chapter 1, but it says the more that they were afflicted, it seemed like the more they grew and they multiplied. And doesn't God do that with us, our trials in our marriage? The more the trials come and we go through it together as a couple, we're growing in the Lord. We're growing in our relationship with one another. And it just seems like afflictions are a good thing for us, because it causes us to turn our eyes on the one who is sovereign and in control of every single thing we're going through, as we heard in the life of Job, but also the reality that God works in us. Like we heard earlier, God is working something in us through that trial. And many times when we're going through a trial, all we can see is what we're going through. The same with the counselee, couples that come to us, that's all they see. It's like this humongous mountain before them that it's just too big for God. But we have to remind them, no, God is greater. God is greater, and he is working in your life right now. He wants to reveal himself through that trial, because that's what you see with the children of Israel. Everything they went through, God was trying to reveal himself to them, the reality of who he is. I mean, we saw he heard their groaning. He remembered his covenant. Well, we make a covenant when we get married, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health, till death do us part, right? But somehow, when the worst, the sickness, the hard times come, we forget. But I'm so grateful God doesn't forget the covenant that he's made with us, that we have said, God, you are my God. Where else can I go? You have the words of life. So he remembers this covenant. He looks upon us. He acknowledges us. He has a personal concern for what we're going through in our marriage. And we need to encourage others that come to us for help in that way. Just reminding them, God cares for you. He cares about what you're going through. And what you look at the children of Israel, what they went through. Think about trials you've gone through in your own marriage, or maybe counselees that God has sent to you. And maybe when they come, I mentioned earlier how they just see what they're going through, but we have to realize, and they have to see, that God's unfolding something in their lives. He wants to transform them into Christ-likeness, like my husband has shared. But also he wants to reveal himself, a greater revelation to them of who he really is. Because if you remember in Psalm 50, verse 15, God said, I'll deliver you. And it doesn't mean he's going to take us totally out, because he says in the scriptures, when we go through the fire, when we go through the water, the floods, he's with us. So we're going to go through things, but we have to remember God's with us. And he says, not only will I deliver you out from that, but you'll have a testimony when you come through this. You're going to glorify me. You'll have a testimony that will encourage others that are in the midst of a trial, that the only thing they can see is that big mountain before them. But you could give them hope. We have hope through the comfort of the scripture, the word, everything that we read before was written so that we might be able to point others to a God that's personal, a God that cares about what we face in life. So as God desires to reveal himself to us in our trials, he also reveals himself to others. And we see that throughout the scriptures, right? Everything that the people of God went through, God was constantly there, revealing himself as a personal God. And we see in 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4, says, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And we realize as we're going through the trials, that this is for someone else. What I'm going through right now in our marriage, God eventually is going to use that to share with another, to bring comfort, to bring hope of the reality of how God made himself real at that time of crisis in your marriage. That you came into a greater knowledge that he truly is a Father of tremendous mercies that we don't deserve. And he truly is a God of all comfort. He knows how to speak to us through his word, especially when you're going through a dark night of the soul as a couple or individually. And you feel like, God, are you even there? Do you even hear? Do you even care? And all of a sudden we get in the Word, and all of a sudden a scripture pops out at us, and he's speaking to us that, yes, I'm with you always. I have not abandoned you. I have not forsaken you. And what we find out is that the trials really strengthen our relationship with God, but our relationship with our spouse also. You know, I think about things that Jeff and I have gone through, the 26 years we've been married, but also almost 24 years of being in ministry together, also on top of it. And all the trials we have faced have drawn us closer together. But, you know, if we didn't respond God's way, and this is really not to put a limelight on us, but reality is if we're not responding in the trial the way God wants us to, we could wind up like this, further apart. And we see that in the lives of couples, don't we? That don't respond to the trial in God's way, that they're not growing together in their relationship with the Lord and in their relationship with their spouse. They're going further and further apart from one another. So when trials come, we need to encourage counselees to just hold on to the reality that God wants to reveal himself to you as Creator, as God Most High, the Lord who sees, the Lord who's there. He is Lord. He's the all-sufficient one. We see this throughout the scripture. He's our provider. He's the shepherd. He's peace. He's the one who heals, and he's the one who sanctifies us in the midst of what we're going through as a couple. Throughout the Bible, we see God constantly revealing himself over and over to mankind through all the fiery trials they were facing. And how much more in our marriages God is wanting to reveal, bring us into a greater knowledge of who he is. Many go into marriage, we've seen this in counseling, with a worldly, selfish mindset. I'm going to live happily after. It's going to be all about me, what I want, my will, my desires. And then we get married and we realize it's not that way at all. God has a whole different perspective. And as I mentioned earlier, we have to guard our hearts because it's so easy when the trials come. And we have to warn counselees when trials come not to get bitter or resentful, especially when things don't go their way. Because what we have seen over the years is couples that allow their hearts to get bitter and resentful, they wind up getting divorced because of hardness of heart. And some of them even walk away from God, accusing God, saying, "You're not fair. You're not fair. I didn't bargain for this. This is not how I planned my marriage to be." And what we have to realize and encourage counselees by telling them, Jesus told us in John 16:33, I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible because I like the translation there. It says, "In the world, you will have tribulation and trials and distress and frustrations, but be of good cheer. Take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted. I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of its power to harm you and have conquered it for you." And this is the God that is with us in the midst of trials, trying to get our attention, trying to draw us unto himself as a couple, so we can come out of that trial with the greater knowledge and revelation of who God is, but then share that with others that lost all hope and are losing hope. Acts 14:22 says, "It is through many hardships and tribulations that we must enter into the kingdom of God." And we see that with the saints of old. It's not going to be any different for us. I mean, if they had to face hardships, and we see what they went through in Hebrews 11, how much more are we going to face it while we're here on earth? Jesus told us. So we need to just allow the trials to just produce in us what God is wanting to produce in us, but to draw us unto himself. And as we do that, we'll come forth with a testimony that we can share with others in their hour of darkness. And like Jeff said, we are seeing it at our counseling center. We love what we're doing at our counseling center because what we're seeing is couples are coming in that they're bitter, they're resentful, they're divorced, they're separated, they don't want anything to do with anything anymore, with each other, but they want to give them one last hope. So they come to us for counseling, and it's amazing because they're responding biblically to their situation. God is transforming them inside, And they're asking, we want to renew our wedding vows, or we want to get married again. And it's just, and we know that's God that did that. But now they're able to go and point others, because now they're the ones referring others to come to our counseling center. There's hope. That's the message that they're giving out to others that are broken. There's hope. There's hope. We were just like you. But hold on to Jesus and let him work in your heart. Let him draw you through it, and you will too glorify him. You will glorify him in the end.
Amen. One of the, I guess, hardest things to help couples to see is that they are at a crossroad, basically, when they come to us. They typically come to us because they haven't done it God's way. So we have to help them, and obviously we can't make them follow God's way. God doesn't make us. He gives us the truth, but we have a will, and we have to choose whether or not we're going to do it His way or our way. And so that's important. So we actually have a covenant that we have people sign. It's in our book, when we take them through our book. But it's basically them deciding, we're going to do it God's way. Because if they're not going to do it God's way, as we understand, it's not going to work. So that's very, very important. Psalm 1 says this. Psalm 1 shows us there's two pathways we can go. But it talks about the first one, which really is God's way. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's anything outside of the word of God. Anything outside of the word of God is the counsel of the ungodly. It's from the principles, philosophies of this world. It's not going to lead people where they need to go. Nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. So what we want to do is we want to get him in scripture. That's the whole purpose in the beginning, is we want to get him in the word. We want to help them to see what the word of God is saying about their situation, about their marriage. Whatever the situation might be, we want to show them this is what God's word is saying about this. We want to help them start delighting and meditating in it day and night. I remember for myself, when I was in horrible bondage and sin, that's basically what happened to me. I didn't know what to do. I had tried so many things, but I was at a place where they literally had me for the first time in my life in the word of God. A lot. So I was getting light, you know, at me in so many different directions. I was hearing it preached and taught like I had never heard it before. And it started affecting me. And it started, it's like the lights were coming on. It was like, that's right. That's true. I've been believing a lie. I haven't been seeing things right. And that's what happens. And we see it happen in the counseling often. It's a blessing. It's like the light goes on. They'll come in the next counseling session and they're like, I get it now. I see it. It's like, praise God. Thank you, Lord. The Holy Spirit revealed truth to them as they were in the Word of God. So, and then they decide. When they do that, it says they'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, even in a drought, by the way. We read that in other places. That brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf will not wither, and whatever they do will prosper. That's the promise we have in Scripture. So we want to put that out there to them. We want them to help them understand, if you'll do it God's way, you will prosper. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care if your tree is barren right now. If you will do it God's way, God is going to produce life and fruit out of your trial, whatever you're going through. Now, many times, people who call themselves Christians look at the words of Jesus, and it just seems like, that's just too hard. You don't understand what I've been through. You don't understand my trial. That's just too hard. But Nevertheless, they are the word, or the words of Jesus. They are the one, the words of the one who spoke the universe into existence. They are the one spoken of who sustains all things by his word. They are the one who is the wisdom of God. They are the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. They are the one who will bring all things into judgment. What could be more important than obeying and listening to his word? Where else can we look? Whose opinion can we regard above his? Whose advice can we put before his? And a lot of times, obviously, when people come to counseling, they've gotten advice in a lot of different places. They've read books. People have shared a lot of opinions with them. We have to, again, help them to see. But this is what God says. This isn't my opinion. That's why you always have them with their Bible, and it's good to have them read it. Say, I didn't say, God said, this is what God says you need to do. This is what God is saying about your situation. You understand, that's where your authority comes from. Not your opinion, but what God says. So we try to help them understand that it has to be his way. Hebrews 5:8 says, though he was a son, talking about Jesus, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. So in his suffering, Jesus learned obedience. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. To all who obey him. So we have to be a doer of the word if we want to prosper. John 8:32, Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I don't care what is going on in your life. I don't care what kind of bondage, what kind of problem, what kind of situation. The truth will set you free. So Jesus equates in both places sanctification and the knowledge of God with abiding in his word. It's very important. He's given us everything we need. 1 Peter 1 verse 3 says, his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we have everything we need to restore our lives and our marriages in the knowledge of him. In the knowledge of him. But we need to pursue his righteousness. We need to pursue his kingdom more than anything else. And that's what we help couples do. Seek first the kingdom of God. Get your eyes on God. Get in the word of God. And yield yourself. Do what God is saying to do in your situation. And he's going to give you everything you need for your situation. And he's going to produce something in you and in your marriage. Really, the way of the cross is the only way. When I was formulating our book in my mind and I was thinking about marriage, what God had done in our lives, I realized, God, that's what you did for Rose and I. You led us to the cross. That's what we needed more than anything. We needed to go to the cross with our problem. We needed to learn personally, individually, apart from one another, how to go ourselves to the cross and learn from you and follow you and truly conform our lives to the world. That's how we made it. And that's where we got to lead, because the cross really is the only way. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 13, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. There are many who go that way, because narrow is the gate, difficult is the way which leads to life. There are few who find it. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this, if we have watered down the gospel into an emotional uplift, which makes no costly demands, which fails to distinguish between natural and Christian experience, we cannot help regarding the cross as an ordinary everyday calamity, as one of the trials and tribulations of life. Only a man thus totally committed in discipleship can experience the meaning of the cross. So really, that's where we're leading this couple, to the cross, to Jesus, to his word. Without these basic truths, we would not have made it, my wife and I. We could have never have landed where we are today. It's our testimony. So we came to realize that God took us down this pathway that leads to life, and he wanted to use us just to lead others. And that's what really, when you think about counseling, isn't that what we're doing? Are we leading them to us? I hope not. No, we're leading them to Jesus. We're leading them to him. We're directing them to God. And we do that through our testimony, because that's where we were led. We don't want to point them to us. We don't want them dependent on us. We want to point them to God, and then we lead them most of all to his word, because that will lead them to him. So we have to remember that and help couples to see that. When we come with a sincere, humble, persistent heart, this is the promise from God, and this, I'll really just leave this with you, because really, what we shared with you today is really what you want to help them to see in the beginning. This is like the beginning, because like my wife said, when they come in, they're not seeing right. So really, this is just the beginning. You understand that. We're just trying to help them see right, and we're trying to help them surrender and commit to doing it God's way, and the way he is seeing their situation. If they will, there's nothing but hope that we are offering them. Because this is the promise that God will open. If we seek him, if we knock, it'll be open to us. In other words, God's hand will be there to help us. If we seek him in the midst of our trial, we will find him right there in the midst of it with us. And that, to me, is the greatest hope of all. If he's in the boat, if this marriage is like in a boat and it's out in a storm and it's like going to sink, we can say, well, listen, if you'll do it his way, if you'll see God in the midst of this, he's in the boat. And guess what? If Jesus is in the boat, it's not going down. You might be scared. You might be saying, God, where are you? Remember the disciples? That's what it's like sometimes in a marriage. We're going down. There's no hope. But we can say, no, there is. Because if you're abiding in him, if you are going to seek him, commit to seek him, do it his way, he's in the boat. It's not going down. Couple of words, he could change your whole situation around. It's nothing for him. And what a blessing it is to be able to share that from testimony. It should always come out of our own testimony. Not that we had to go through some terrible thing in our marriage, but we all have a testimony, right? We've all had times where we felt like our boat was sinking. We all face trials. So we're sharing it not as information, it's testimony. Let me tell you what God could do. He's in control. He knows what he's doing. He's got a purpose in this. If you'll trust him, if you'll get your eyes on him, if you'll see what he says, if you'll obey him and yield to him in this, he's going to bring forth his plan. He's going to make things better than you ever imagined. And I'll finish with, like I said, we celebrated our 26th anniversary yesterday. And I could have never imagined God could do what he did in our marriage, because we were in a dark place many years ago. And I mean, with all rights, biblically, she could have walked out. And many people counseled her and told her, just move on, you know, just, he's too far gone, whatever. But God was in control, and God knew what he was doing. He saw way beyond the trial we were going through. And God's amazing, and I just love, my wife said, I love what we do, because I don't care what somebody walks into the office with. It's like, this is nothing for God. And you just point them to the Word of God. You point them to Him. You bring Jesus in the center of that counseling center, and there's hope. There's hope. We're not throwing out a false hope to them. And that's what we got to help them see. So, Lord, I thank You that You are in the midst of everything we go through. In marriage, so many times, how many times have we heard with ones that have been divorced or just threw in the towel that it was just too big? You don't understand. It was too complex. Lord, that doesn't hold water with who You are and what You promise us in Your Word. And there's so many testimonies we have, not just us, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of testimonies of what You can do. So, Lord, I pray that all of us here would never feel like a situation is too far gone or just too hard. We remember, Lord, that You're there in the midst. And if we'll look to You, if we'll trust You, if we'll see the situation the way You see it, if we'll look to Your Word, if we'll yield ourselves, obey You, no matter what things look like, You will bring forth Your purpose. You'll plant us, Lord. Our roots will go down into You, and we will produce fruit. And You'll be glorified, most of all. You will be glorified in the midst of our trials and in and through marriage, which really is just a smaller representation of Your relationship with Your church. It'll just portray that to the world, Lord. So we thank You today, and we love You, and we give You all the glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.